chapter 6, the first three verses. Do you have your Bibles? Let's get them open to Ephesians 3, or 6, the first four verses, the first three verses. I want you to notice what it says. This is not what I say, this is what God says. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." You want to have a good life, don't you? I wonder if there are any young people here this morning that don't want to have a good life. It tells here how to have a good life. And now Colossians chapter 3. Just turn over a few pages to Colossians chapter 3. And verse 20. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Now, this is the basic responsibility of the child. But let's find out who it's writing to when it says children, shall we? This has always been a point that's caused a little problem. Who are children? Well, I asked myself that question when I was studying this, so I turned to Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, and I got out my Greek New Testament, and I looked up the word that is used here. And this word that is used here refers to children of all ages. It does not refer just to little children, although it does refer to little children. But there is a special word in the Greek that's used for small children, and that is not used here. The word which is used here is used of us as the children of God. Now, I consider myself to be a child of God. Do you? If you've been saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are a child of God. It doesn't make any difference how old you are. It's used in many other ways in the Bible and in the New Testament. But it's used of children of all ages. Now, people say to us, my wife and I, "How many children do you have?" And we say, "Four." You know how old the oldest is? He's 38 years old. He'll be 39 next summer. And the youngest is, what, 21? She's past 21 now. And we still say they're our children. They were born to us. There are born ones, children, those that God has entrusted to our care. So that doesn't let us young people escape, does it? It says, "Children, obey your parents." Now, to obey is a stronger word than submit. You know what it means to obey? Well, I think you do. But when dad or mom speak, that means you do what they tell you to do, or you do not do what they tell you not to do. You don't argue. You don't grumble. You don't talk back. You don't do it just when they're looking. But you do just what they tell you. And if you're doing it according to the way the Scripture tells us it should be done, then you do it gladly. Because did you notice what it said? Obey your parents in the Lord, just like you would obey the Lord, just as if it were the Lord that's speaking to you. It's very important that we obey with the proper attitude and not to obey just because I have to. Wish Dad and Mom wouldn't be so... Is that the way you feel? Huh? They're so narrow-minded. They're always yakking at me. They always want me to do something that I don't want to do. Is that the way you feel? Well, if that's the way you feel, you are disobeying the Word of God. You are rebelling against God Himself. And that's pretty rough. And did you notice when I read in Colossians, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord in everything? Not just what you want to do, but it says in everything. And this includes teenagers and young people. Now, maybe I should specify a little closer what we mean by children. This is the first stage of life. And I believe that it's in keeping with the rest of the Scriptures if we say that this injunction, this commandment, applies to each one of us as long as we are living with Dad and Mom, as long as we are letting them support us. Now, when you get to be a grown man or a grown woman and you leave the roof of your parents' home and you step out into the world yourself, earning your own living, you are responsible to God. As long as you are living at home, or as long as you're letting your parents support you, you are responsible to obey them, no matter how old you might be. Now, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? Because, as I said, this word children does not refer to the small age group that we usually think of when we use the word. We might say sons and daughters. In our language, we have kind of put different age groups in different categories, but God doesn't put them in different categories. And so in this first stage of life, when you're home, or if you're in college and Dad's supporting you, you're still responsible to obey Him. Why? Why should I obey Him? And by the way, let me say that this is a commandment for all mankind, not just for believers. Though it's especially strong for believers. It applies to all mankind because it was given as the fifth commandment in the 20th chapter of Exodus. And we still need to pay attention to what the Ten Commandments that God gave to Israel tell us. Five reasons why we should obey. You want to know why? First, it says because it is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it implies that it's wrong for you to disobey. God says you should obey, and that ought to be reason enough. It's one of God's laws. Just like if you're up on top of the building here and you want to get down and you just jump down, you're going to get hurt, aren't you? The law of gravity will take you down faster than you want to go, and you're going to get hurt. Chances are you're going to come out of it with a broken arm or a leg or a headache or something. You're going to get hurt every time you disobey one of God's laws. And this is one of God's laws. You learn respect for authority in your own home. You learn to obey the laws of the land in your own home. And parents are representatives of God in your home. The father stands in the place of God in your home to you, as long as you're home. And don't you dare disobey father and mother any more than you would dare disobey God, or you'll suffer the consequences. Secondly, it is scriptural. You should obey your parents because the Bible says so. And we could turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We could turn back to Exodus chapter 20. And other places as well. In the book of Proverbs, many places the Bible tells us in the Old Testament how important it is for young folks to obey their parents. Thirdly, that it may go well with you, that you might have a good life. You want to have a good life? Do you want things to go well with you? Then obey your parents. And fifthly, it pleases the Lord, according to Colossians 3:20. You cannot please the Lord by disobeying your parents. And remember that the sphere of obedience is in everything, whether you like it or not, whether you want to or not. You are to obey your parents. Now, if the older folks weren't here, right about at this point, I could say, any questions you young folks have? And right away there'd be a whole bunch of hands coming up, wouldn't there? There'd be lots of questions. Of course, I know with the older folks here, there aren't going to be any. Because kids just don't talk up when the old folks are around. Especially dad and mom, right? And somebody would say, yeah, that's right, but you don't know my parents. They're so close-minded that we can't discuss anything. Why, it's just impossible to please them. Well, if this is really true, this is tragic. But you know, it's still no excuse for your disobeying your parents, because you're doing exactly what you accuse your parents of doing. Of being narrow-minded. You refuse to see their point of view. You're actually putting yourself in your parents' shoes. You're being just like them. Of course, I say if they're like that, then the parents need to examine themselves. And this is going to be heart-searching for parents this morning. And I don't know when we're going to get through. But you know that you're responsible to bear your parents even if they're wrong? Even if they're wrong? Even if they are narrow-minded? God puts no qualifications on it. He says in everything. Now, of course, I might put one qualification on it, which I believe that God would put on it. If your parents asked you to do something dishonest, For example, to go in a store and steal something, or something immoral, something absolutely forbidden by the Bible, then what would you do? Then you would have the right to humbly go to your parents and say, "Look, the Bible says I shouldn't steal. And you want me to steal? What should I do?" You see, you come under a higher law, but only if it's something immoral, something that God has forbidden. Otherwise, in everything, you're to obey your parents. Well, then, I would see another hand coming up someplace over here, and this girl would say, "Yeah, but the kids at school, the other girls at school, if I did as my parents said, if I got home at 10 o'clock at night like my parents say I should, why, they would just laugh at me." And you know, this is one of the hardest things for young people today. We call it peer pressure. Because the kids at school do something, I've got to do it too, I think. But you know what? I was thinking back when I graduated from high school in 1930, and there were 60-some in our class, and I don't know a single one of those people today. And then I graduated from college in 1934, and there were 65 young men in our class, and I don't know a single one of them. They don't mean anything to me. The kids that you're running around with a few years from now won't mean a thing to you. But you know that my parents still mean to me very, very much. They have stuck by me all through the years, and not a one of my classmates has stuck by me that I can remember. That's the way it's going to be with you. Is it a good idea to stick by those that are leading you wrong just because they happen to be your age? And in a few years, or maybe even a few months, you won't even know who they are. You don't realize that it's your age. You see, I've been your age. Did you know that? I was exactly your age at one time. Every one of you here that's younger than 61 years of age, I've been exactly your age at one time or other. And I remember how it was. Well, there are many other excuses that are given for not obeying parents. But when young people react against their parents, do you know what they do? They show that they are controlled by the spirit of this age, this world in which we live, which is disobedience and rebellion. And they show that they're not under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, because one of the things that's mentioned in connection with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and in connection with being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5 is gentle submission. And this is so contrary to human nature. Now, did you get it? It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And in Colossians, it says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Now, don't forget that, will you? When you go home today, remember it. If you want a good life, that's the requirement. It's the only way to a good life. It's the only way to a long life in the Old Testament economy, and that's even brought over and mentioned in the New Testament. There's a promise connected with this commandment, the only one in which a promise is connected, to which a promise is connected. Isn't that something? Now, let's go on to the next. Verse 2, "Honor your father and mother." which is the first commandment with a promise. I said children obey, but that's connected with it too. But then really the second part is the one to which the promise is connected. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Honor. What does it mean to honor? And who should honor parents? Just those that are living at home? You know, there are three stages of life, so to speak. There's one stage when we're living at home and be dependent upon our parents. Then we're to obey them as well as to honor them. The second stage of life is when our parents are able to take care of themselves and we have grown to maturity and left home. It says we're still to honor our parents. We're still to respect them. We're still to put a high value upon them. And then there's a third stage of life, and I'm going to mention this now lest I forget it. And that is when our parents get old and feeble and need our help. And we cannot honor our parents in those days if we don't take care of them and help them. It fell our responsibility to take my wife's mother into our home. And she died when she was with us in our home. And her father came to our home for the last 2 or 2.5 months of his life in his terminal sickness. And we had to take care of him. And my father came, and we had to take care of him. And now my dear old mother is in the hospital and not able to get out of the hospital. And I still should honor my mother. We phoned her the other morning. I think it was Friday morning. In the hospital and talked to her. And while we were talking to her, she kind of faded away. She couldn't understand the question that my wife was asking her. And then I asked her and she couldn't understand. And then silence on the other end for a long time. And finally I heard voices in the room. And then she came back onto the phone. Evidently, Mother had slipped away into unconsciousness. And last evening, my sister called me and said that she's failing. I wish that I could see my mother. I wish that we could take care of her. I doubt if we could, even if she were here. Back in the old days, of course, we would have had to. Today we think we have to take them to the hospital. And perhaps this is the kindest thing to do, God knows. I often wonder. But it is our responsibility to see to it that our parents are taken care of as long as they live. And this is one way that we honor them. Now the word honor, what does it mean? Well, it's used of the value which is done by Christ to his Father, which the Lord Jesus Christ feels towards his Father. He sets a high value on his Father, doesn't he? You remember over in John chapter 2, when the Lord Jesus was 12 years of age, no, it's Luke chapter 2, I think. When the Lord Jesus was 12 years of age, they went up to Jerusalem and took him along. And Joseph and his mother apparently weren't looking after him too well. And he was where a young man ought to be at that age. He was in God's temple learning from the teachers which God had set over Israel. And they left without him and went a whole day's journey. And then they missed him. And it took them 3 days to find him. And when they found him, Mary said to him, his mother, "Your father and I have been looking for you. We've been worried about you. How come you didn't come with us?" I'm paraphrasing it in our language. He said, "Didn't you realize that I must be about my father's business?" Now, who was his father? Was Joseph his father? God was his father, wasn't he? Joseph was not his father. Mary was his real mother. But Joseph was not his real father. But you know, there's a little word there that says, "And he went home with them and was subject to them." He obeyed Joseph and his mother, his legal father and his mother. Not his actual father, his legal father. He obeyed them. And this obedience apparently went on until he was 30 years of age. When the time came for his public ministry to show himself to Israel. And then you remember when the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross. One of the last things that he did was to provide for his mother. Apparently his father, his legal father Joseph, had died. And he said to John from the cross, he says, "John, behold your mother." And he said to Mary, "Mother, behold your son." And he told John to take care of her. He provided for the care of his mother when he was hanging on the cross. He was absolutely perfect in his obedience. Oh, we should set a high value on our parents. But what if they don't deserve us to set a high value on them? What if our parents are not Christians? What if your parents are bad people? What then? The Bible still says that you should honor them, that you should respect them, and that you should do all you can to take care of them. You know who was the emperor in Rome when Paul wrote the book of Romans and said, "Be obedient to those in authority over you, obey those in authority over you"? You know who was emperor then? It was Nero, the man that used to dip the Christians in tar and tie them up to poles around his garden and then have them burned to death to light his garden every night. And Paul, writing by the Spirit of God, says, "You obey those in authority over you." Was Nero a good man? And yet, Paul said, "You obey Nero." And shame on us if we tear down our president, if we do dishonor to him in this day when it's popular to dishonor him. Shame on us. We have no right to dishonor our president. He stands before God for what he has done, whether it be right or whether it be wrong. We are to obey. So, you see, we are to obey, and then we are to honor our parents, whether they're worthy of it or not. Well, there's lots more that could be said, and I believe we should go on to the parent. Now, you children and young folks here, you might want to listen to this. Of course, I expect you'll be more interested in this than the first part. We're always more interested in the other fellow's responsibilities than our own, aren't we? But do you realize that if the Lord spares you to live a few more years, that you're likely to be a parent, a father, or a mother? So maybe you'd better learn what the Bible says to fathers, first of all. Let's read it. Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children, lest they be discouraged. The words to anger are in italics, they're not in the Greek. Fathers, provoke not your children, lest they be discouraged. Now, I suppose that the parent today is the least understood and the most blamed of any segment of our society. Young people in general today don't take the trouble to try to understand their parents. They want their parents to understand them, of course, but they don't take any trouble to understand their parents. But do you know that the average parent, even that lives across the street from us in our little town where we live, unsaved people for the most part, have as their highest aspirations that their children grow up, to honor those in authority over them, and to become mature and responsible citizens. And as believers, we who are parents have as our highest aspirations for our children that they grow up to fear the Lord, don't we? And to honor those in authority over them, to honor and respect their parents, because we know that this will make it good for them, that they might have a good life and a long life, in general, of course, and that they might become mature and responsible citizens. Now, there are four or five basic principles for raising children. First of all, it says fathers. Now, it doesn't say mothers. It says fathers in these two passages, doesn't it? So the first basic principle for raising children is the father must assume his responsibility as the head of the home. We talked about this when we talked about the responsibility of husbands to their wives. Now we get it again in the responsibility of fathers to their children. The father must assume the responsibility for his home. Now, this doesn't exclude the mother. She has a very important role. And we'll try to look into that briefly at the end. She is to have a godly influence on her children. And she is to uphold the father's authority in the home in every way. And actually, father and mother work together. And let me say to you, fathers and mothers, if you are not working together, you are doing your children wrong. If you have differences of opinion, you settle those differences when your children are not around. And you be of one mind when you're before your children. And mothers, remember, father is the authority in the home. You are not. When he is gone, when he is away from home, it is your responsibility to carry out his authority. These are rather difficult things, aren't they? They hit home hard to us. You know, they hit home hard to me. I don't have any kids at home anymore. Kind of wish I did have sometimes. That day when Dottie got married, and a few days later when we pulled up stakes and moved out to Washington, was in many respects a sad day for us. It ended 35 and a half years of having children in our home. And we missed them. And we made our share of mistakes, too. Thank God for everyone that he's overruled. Once an Englishwoman said to her son, "Charles, your father and I have trained you in righteousness. We have taught you the word of God. We have lived a godly life before you. If you do not live a godly life, we will stand before God in the day of judgment and bear witness against you." Did you hear that? I hope you parents can say that, and I hope you young people listen to this. I'm going to tell you again. An English woman said to her son, "Charles, your father and I have trained you in that which is right. We have taught you the word of God. We have lived a godly life before you. If you do not live a godly life, we will stand before God in the day of judgment and bear witness against you." Do you know who that son was? Charles Haddon Spurgeon. One of the mighty preachers of the Word of God. The home is the Father's kingdom, where Father rules. It's the mother's world. And it's a sad home where it's not the mother's world, where she brings in somebody else to take care of her home and children. Mothers, it's your responsibility. This is your world. The home is your world. And it's the child's paradise. Is this true of your home? Now, the highest priorities in a man's life are, first of all, his personal relationship to the Lord. Secondly, his next highest priority is his wife and children. Your wife and your children are more important than your service for the Lord outside of the home. And your third responsibility is your service to which God has called you. And your fourth responsibility is your secular employment. I hope you don't forget that. In this world, God has given you as your first responsibility your wife and your children. Men, fathers, husbands. Now, why is it so important for the father to assume his responsibility as head of the home? Well, because he represents God in the family. How does a child know what God is like? By looking at his father. Oh, it was a sad day when a little girl went to her mother one day and said, "Mother, what's God like?" And mother says, "Well, I don't really know. Maybe you better go ask your daddy." And she went to her daddy and she says, "Daddy, I asked mother what God is like, and she said I should come and ask you. What's God like, Daddy?" He says, "I don't know." And the little girl said, "It seems to me that as long as my daddy and mommy have lived, they ought to know something about what God is like. But do you know, fathers, that the opinion children get of what God is like, they get from you? If you're a hard man, they're going to look upon God as being hard. If you're permissive and anything goes, they're going to look upon God as being that way. And if you're a good man, a faithful man, a gentle man, a trustworthy man, a man that expects his wife and children to obey him, and yet loves them with all his heart as his own self, then your children are going to look upon God as being like that. How do you want your children to think God is like? Well, there's much more we could say along this line, but there are four more points that I must bring out. It says, provoke not your children to wrath. And this word, provoke not your children to wrath, is